My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. We have four people, count them, you can't see them, but there's four people here in the studio, and we will do a special program about a visit to the country of Angola. So the four visitors are, first of all, George DeCampos. Hello, George.
Good morning, Vic.
And his wife,
Good
Kathy.
Morning.
Good morning, okay. And my wife, Bev.
Hello.
And myself. So I'd like to, first of all, have George, who is senior pastor. He also translates much of the literature into the Portuguese language, has worked with the leadership of Portuguese people in not only in Angola, but in Brazil and other places in the world. And he's done a massive and wonderful job. We have a history with these people that is a checkered history. It's a history that has some, you know, good and bad and wonderful things and also challenging things that have taken place over time.
Well, in 1983, a group of people in Angola decided they had to keep the Sabbath. They, for 10 years, they grew, and they, after the period of 10 years in 1993, they realized that it was more than just the Sabbath. And then they came in contact with the plain truth. And at that time, they sent two elders to South Africa, but they ran out of money and they only reached what we call today Namibia. And they, through other people, got in contact with us. And then I phoned them back and then I put them in touch with Pasadena. Then in 1995, they actually became part of Worldwide Church of God. Then, soon after that, they were told by Worldwide Church of God that they did not need to keep the Sabbath. They thought, this must be a joke. And they just kept going the same way. In 2002, two men from Worldwide Church of God went there and told them that they had to keep the Sunday or else they would lock up the hole and they could not go to church anymore. They said in reply, Christ has got the keys of the kingdom, and when he opens, no man can shut. And therefore, you, people who come from the States, you can go. We'll remain faithful to God's word. And so they have been thinking all this along. They were the only ones in the whole world, because one of the Worldwide Church of God Portuguese translators was in contact with them. And that individual told them that nobody else in the States had remained faithful to the truth. And so for these, from 1995 till 2015, they thought they were the only ones. 2015, they found us on the web. And then I got communication from them. We are overjoyed to have found people around the world, besides here in Angola, that are remaining faithful to God. And so they made a song which basically sang, Elijah, keep prophesying. Because Elijah was discouraged. And God said to Elijah, I have 7,000 other souls that remain faithful and have not bowed their knees to Baal. And they equated us to those 7,000.
Well, on this trip, they sang that song, and it was inspiring. Though today we had a focus group here at the home office, and George played the video of them singing it. It truly was inspiring and brought tears to eyes, because these are people that really thought they were abandoned. And then they found the other 7,000. And going over there has been a most inspiring experience of seeing, you know, who they are, to meet their leadership, to meet their people, and just to see that type of strength that they have, in a sense, first of all, spiritually, but also in numbers. There's 15 congregations in the city of Luanda, each with their own building, and they're just all, you know, very active in their communities and very well respected, and run schools and so forth. It's truly a marvelous group.
Yeah, and in fact, on the Sabbath, they had combined services of all the Luanda congregations to be mm-hmm. with us, and also a number of members came from outlying areas, and a lot of the elders from all over the countryside, north and south, came to be with us. We had a total attendance of 1,873 brethren, mm-hmm. including we had their members of the press. We had interviews with the local TV, which was broadcast for various hours nationwide in Angola about us. And some of the most exciting things that happened after service, because their services are just like ours, but they had a youth activity afterwards, which was just seeing the youth engaged mm-hmm. in the church, singing and citing verses from the Bible with great joy. And then afterwards, we had a Bible study. And then after the Bible study, as we came towards 5 o'clock, towards the end of the Sabbath, and everybody just, I would use the word exploded. it burst into a most uplifting and encouraging joy. And we all knew God had blessed that Sabbath, and those people were most grateful for you and Mrs. Kubik taking the time to come and be with them. They are so appreciative.
Well, I'm overjoyed that we did go and found a wonderful meeting the people and having that opportunity not only to be there in Sabbath services, but also the activities following. The music was absolutely fantastic. So much joy, so much talent. It was wonderful that way. We couldn't even hold everyone inside their building. They set everything up out in their courtyard so that they could hold these 1,800 and some people that were there. Set up all the chairs out there and everything, and we just all rejoiced together. And it was a wonderful experience. And then to be able to visit the school, which is right there attached to their church building, and to see the children there, 90% of those children are from the community, and only 10% of their own children, which is all of their own young in the various classrooms. One thing that struck me was that you have to apply for the government school because there is not enough schooling. There's not enough schools done by the government to even hold the numbers of children that are in the country. And so these private schools and the church school is a very valuable aspect of what they're doing for their community.
Yes, one of the things that really strikes you about these people from the first moment that you go in to see them, and you start talking to them, it's very apparent their dedication to God and to their families. You can see the respect for one another. You can see the wives, how they respect their husbands. You can see the children, how they respect their elders and their parents.
But one thing that I would like to emphasize is that we did have 2.5 hours of a session of the ladies and they opening up their hearts. And I would like to hear the ladies comment about that, because to me, again, at the end of that, they all burst out into joy and singing. That was so nice.
It was very interesting that we actually advertised for this event, the ladies' presentation. We were not sure how many ladies would come. And when George had asked some of the elders how many were going to come, the response was, well, there was going to be a lot. So we thought maybe there would be about 100. There was over 200 ladies that did actually come to this presentation. But we started the presentation with a question, which was, what are some of your challenges that you face being in Angola and actually trying to obey God and keep His commandments? And some of the ladies, actually one of the ladies got up and she just, she basically said, well, they do have basic challenges. But I think some of the challenges they face are some of the very challenges that we all face as well, too. How to, the structure of the family and how to organize. Maybe Mrs. Kubik would like to elaborate a little bit more on that.
I was thinking, if I remember correctly, one of her responses was just about cliques, so to speak, in the congregation, and I think we often will find that here also. It's amazing to me that around the world, whoever you talk to, the problems and challenges are similar.
One thing I noticed is that how they have ladies' meetings every yes. week and things like that. Maybe mm-hmm. you want to comment a little yeah. bit about that?
Yes, they have ladies' meetings and they do get together and they do, you know, they do discuss their challenges and they do discuss what they're going to do for the week and the month. And one of the things that one of the ladies was mentioning is that they do get together and, like, for example, if they know if there's somebody that's struggling or whatever, they do try to reach out to those individuals. So they do have various plans in place where they do try and help the other people in the community.
I was just very impressed by just the spirit of femininity in that particular culture.
Definitely. And they definitely do try to be godly women.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other questions that we did ask them was about, give us an example of godly women in the Bible. And it's quite interesting, the different examples that they did give. They did give the example of Mary and how she gave up everything to become the mother of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And they did give the example of Hannah. And was there another example?
Well, Ruth, I believe they brought up Ruth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The mother of Moses.
Yes,
that's right. Well,
yeah, yeah. They had some lesser known figures.
Yes, we didn't even think of.
That was very, very good. And the beauty about it is that they are already. I mean, we thought that we're going to go there and give them a few ideas, but they are already doing what we would kind of suggest them to do. They're meeting every week in their individual congregations, like every Wednesday, whatever it is, the ladies get together in a congregation mm-hmm. and they plan activities. And for instance, not just the ladies, but the young people, they saw and they see a need for a province all the way down in the south, province of Kunene, where there has been a drought. For 3 years, they have not had one drop of rain. And people are dying there of hunger. Animals are dying. And the young people, they all had T-shirts which said cooperative type of project they had set up to actually do some stuff for those fellow brethren in Kunene. And that was organized by the young people.
You know, that makes me really want to help a whole lot more.
Exactly. You know? They're taking the initiative.
I was just very impressed by how they are caring and looking out after their own. And if we could help, that's nice. But they weren't relying on us totally.
Right. The other big thing about Angola is that they've been for about nearly 15, 20 years in a project of registering the church.
Mm-hmm.
They got to a point that they were the next ones in line to be approved as a church after waiting for 15 years. And then a new president was elected about a year ago. And the new president put out a law that said no church can continue existing unless they have 100,000 adult members. They've changed the law now to say 60,000 adult members. And that is an impossibility. I mean, we don't have 60,000 members here, adult members in United States. And, you know, so it is important. And the other churches, like Church X, Y, Z, whatever church, they got together and formed like a union of churches. And they did not want to join with those churches because, number one, those churches keep Sunday. And number two, they're Trinitarian. And therefore, they decided to go it alone. And they now have just received, they submitted their paperwork, and they just received, and they got, I think, till about November to submit a full justification. And then four different departments of ministry, of government ministry, that will review to approve whether they can continue as a church. And they are asking, please, please tell our brethren around the world to pray for us. This is the biggest thing they left with me and with us. Please pray for us, because if this comes down, all those brethren will not be able to meet on the Sabbath, and all their churches will be sealed, will be locked up with lock and key, mm-hmm. with chain padlocks. And they asked, please, for the International Brotherhood of God's People to pray for this, because they need open door for that.
You know, one thing that I found in just the dealings here with the Angolans, it was like the Book of Acts. The churches, as soon as they started, there would be pressure against them, whether it was in Philippi or whether it was Thessalonica. There was always pressure from the government, in some cases pressure from other religious groups. And I felt like we have it so good over here. You know, we have freedom of religion, we have protection of our rights and so forth. And here are people who don't have any of this. They have, their lives could be taken away. They could be hauled off to prison at any one time. And yet they courageously stand up for their beliefs, knowing that God is going to keep them from the hour of trial and it will keep them from the evil one.
Yeah, they know this will be sorted out. And they go there and they smile. Yeah. They're happy. And they're so hot and zealous and committed. It's so encouraging to see that.
Well, it certainly is a church on the move and they've got a lot of inertia. It's been very wonderful. Well, it's been very wonderful talking about this aspect of our visit to the people in Angola. But more importantly, it was interesting to talk about what they're thinking, and I hope that we passed along some of the spirit of those people, you know, to you. George, any final words?
No, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity and for you and Bev to take the time to see the brethren there. They are so grateful to you and to God because God showed them that they are not alone.
Kathy, any final words?
Yes, I want to just say, ready to go back again. No, they are wonderful people. And please do, if you have a chance, listen to some of the videos and the music. It's wonderful. And a lot of the outfits that you could see are actually made by hand by some of the ladies there. But they definitely were such a delightful people to be with.
Mm-hmm. And I think above all, don't forget to pray for them.
Yes, absolutely.
We'd like to have your feedback at podcast@ucg.org. And also, now the podcast can be easily seen from the homepage of ucg.org. We're on the main menu bar. You just click podcast and you get right to the last podcast that's there and all the previous podcasts. So thank you very much. It's been very enjoyable. And may God bless you and come back and join us again for another edition of Inside United soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.